like, who in the world is Jonathan and why is he here today? I don't know. I mean, primarily because we're friends of your new pastor and in this church. But officially, I serve as the Iowa Ministry Network Superintendent. And some of you are like, la-di-da, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you. So this church is part of a network of churches across the globe called the Assemblies of God. And in the United States, there are 66 networks or districts. Some of those are by geographical areas. Some of them are by states. And in our great state of Iowa, we are one network or one section, district, whatever you want to call it. And there are 113 Assemblies of God churches in Iowa with 480 credential holders and 13,000 plus people who every Sunday gather in a great Assemblies of God church across the state of Iowa. And for some reason, 18 months ago, people elected me to be the overseer of the network of the Iowa Ministry Network. And so so today I get to come not only as a friend of Pastor Wendy and Dan, but in an official capacity as the superintendent of the Iowa Ministry Network to install your pastor. And I'm just grateful that on her very first Sunday that I get to be here with you and do this. And then next week she's going to preach. And so for those of you who are here for the very first time, and please don't be disappointed. Today, come back next week. Don't judge the church off of this message today. It's going to look a little different. So I want to start out by saying thank you for your heart for missions. My wife and I served as missionaries to India 100 years ago, and your church supported us, right? When Pastor Lyndon was the pastor here, I actually preached on a Sunday morning, and your church took up an offering, and you sent us to India, and just like with Wendy, you sent us out, and you welcomed us back. And so thanks for both of those endeavors, and when I would have been here, our children would have been very small, and our son would have been, when we left to go to India, our son was 3 years old, and our daughter was just under 2 years old. And I have a current picture of them today that I'll just show you. There's my wife, Erica, in the middle. She's sitting right here on the front row. And then our son is on the right-hand side. His name is Jacob, and our daughter, Juliana, and her husband. And so all of them are living in Des Moines with us and currently living in our house. So a couple of years ago, we got the feeling of what it was like to be empty nesters. We sent them out, and we were like, wow, at 43 years old, to be empty nesters, this is pretty fantastic. And then our son moved back in with us this summer, and then our daughter just graduated from the University of Northern Iowa just a couple of weeks ago, and she brought her husband back into our house. And so our house went from empty to overflowing, and we're grateful to have them here for in our house for a very short time, and then they'll actually be moving out the end of this month into their own place. And so, but her mama's heart and my father's heart is happy to have our kids all back in the same area again. How many of you are blessed to have your kids close by? And so you understand what I'm talking about. So I just want to quiz you real quick. How many of you remember what my daughter's name is? Would you just raise your hand? We got two people who remember. Help me understand something. Like, honestly, it couldn't have been more than 45 seconds ago that I told you my daughter's name. And you can't remember it? I am so offended. I am never coming back to this church ever again. Why did I do this silly illustration? I did it because all of you maybe already know each other, but for Pastor Wendy and for Dan, all of you are new people to them. And they're going to want to know all of your names and all of your kids' names and your life story and what's going on in your life. And I just want to encourage you with something very practical. Would you do me a favor over the next 3 months, whether you think they know your name or not, every time you see them, would you just remind them of your name and reintroduce yourself to them so that none of you are offended when they don't remember your name? Give them time to learn your name. Will you agree with that? So Our daughter's name is Juliana. I'm not going to quiz you again, I promise. And I wasn't really offended. It was just to prove a point to encourage you to reintroduce yourselves to Pastor Wendy and Dan each week. And then our son is named Jacob. And I didn't even tell you our son-in-law's name, but his name is Jacob as well. So really easy. If you can remember one of the boys' names, you can remember both of the boys' names. And so anyway, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for your support of us when we were missionaries and your investment in our lives. And it was fun today to go back to the missions table, snap a couple of pictures of some of the prayer cards and text them to some of the missionaries that were there and just said, hey, we're in Haywarden today and came across your prayer card. And so it's been fun to text them. So thanks again for your heart for missions. This is a new season. And today I want to share a number of different thoughts with you that I believe that if you'll impact that you've ever had. It's always good to honor the past, and I'm grateful for the history of your church. And honestly, I'm really grateful for the leaders of your church and your board and those who have been filling in over the last couple of plus years. And so if you appreciated that, would you express your appreciation? Some strong messages have been delivered, some powerful moments in the presence of the Lord by ministers and lay leaders here in the church. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you for serving so in the gap without having a pastor. And thank you for continuing to serve faithfully as you step into this new season with a pastor. I have an annual in my office that has a history of the Iowa Ministry Network churches. And so you can correct me after the service if this is wrong information. But what I found is that this church was started in 1981. And in that time, you have had six different lead pastors. Pastor Wendy, you are the seventh pastor of this church. And those six pastors were faithful to the Lord in their assignment, and they ran their leg of the race. And then the Lord moved them on, and now the Lord has brought Pastor Wendy here to your church to pick up the baton and to continue to run. And so today I have this baton that I want to give to you that just says, you can come up if you want to, but it just says, Run to Win, Friendship Assembly of God, Pastor Wendy Schultz, January 4th, 2024. Officially pass the baton to you, and we, it is 26, but this says 25, and so we're going to give this to you today, and we will correct this, anyway, God bless you. Today is 2026, and so for the other dad joke here today, way to have perfect attendance already for 2026. A number of years ago, my wife and I pastored in Waverly, Iowa. We were the lead pastors of that church for 10 years, and we moved to a house in Waverly that had this giant oak tree with a limb overhanging our bedroom. And we get tremendous amount of wind events. In fact, on the way here, I had to keep the steering wheel turned to the side because the wind wanted to blow me off of the road today. And with all of the wind events that we get here, I didn't want the stress of having that branch leaning over our bedroom at night for every storm that blew through. And so I had the tree cut down. And when the person cutting down the tree cut into that giant limb overhanging our house, he said to me it was a good thing that we had it cut down because it was hollowed. And so I took the bottom trunk of the tree and I had it cut into 3-inch sections, and that's what it looked like. And I gave it to my dad in Memphis, and he stored it in his shed for a number of years. Let's go to the next picture. And in a moment, I'm going to show you this desk that I made, and this was one of the raw pieces that we started with. Let's go to the next one. We set up that router sled, and back and forth, a half an inch at a time, got one side level and then the other side level to be able to get what we were doing. And as we did that, I hit something, and it sparked. Let's go to the next picture. There was a barbed wire staple in it. Years ago, someone used the trunk of the tree as a fence post. And so they put this barbed wire staple in it to hold the fence up. Let's go to the next picture. If you'll look on this left-hand side, do you see that black streak? That black streak is a stain because of that staple. And there's no amount of sanding that you can do that will ever take away that black streak. Now, I'll tell you that I think that that black streak on that table is cool, on that desk. I think it adds character. I think it's an awesome mark on the desk. Let's go to the next picture. That's what it looks like finished in my office. Doesn't that look pretty? So my dad helped me with that, and you can see the black streak in the far side of the deal, and it left a mark. And here's what I want to say to you this morning, Pastor Wendy. Your ministry here is going to leave a mark on this incredible body of faith and on this community. And my prayer for you, if Jesus tarries, somebody's going to follow you here. And my prayer is that at the end of your assignment here, that those in this church and those in this community would say, your ministry left a deep mark in me and on me, and it's a great mark. I just want to pray that over you right now. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the years of faithfulness and obedience since 1981, a body of believers gathering here to lift up the name that is above every name and to glorify you. God, I thank you for the leaders of this church who have fasted and who have prayed and sought you to ask you who should be the next lead shepherd of this church. And Lord, you have provided Pastor Wendy and Dan to step into this role, and the mantle has been placed upon them. And God, I pray as she takes on the baton and she runs this race with endurance that you've called her to run, that you would give her the grace needed for the season. And Lord, I pray that the mark that she leaves on this church and on this community would be a blessed mark, that people would look back on this season of her leadership and be grateful that she answered the call to come here and to minister. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Apostle Paul's letters to the churches, he would often identify things that the churches were doing well, and then he would encourage them to keep doing those things. And so what I want to do this morning is I step in as an outsider into your church and talk to you about things that will lead to the greatest kingdom impact that your church has ever seen. I'm going to assume that you're already doing these things that we're going to talk about. And so then my encouragement to you is that you would just keep doing these things, that you would double your efforts on these things. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes a letter that addresses where the church is, and he encourages them to keep going. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. The first principle that I want to talk to you about this morning to see the greatest kingdom impact this church has ever seen is, number one, keeping Jesus at the center and priority. Keeping Jesus at the center and priority. Just so you know, there are 10 points. I'm going to let you know that the 10th point is just a reminder of the first point. So there are really 9 points, and they are fast points. And so we're not going to be, I can smell the lasagna wafting up from the basement. And so I am aware that we're going to have some delicious food after this. But when Paul wrote in verse number 5, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. A sincere faith prioritizes Jesus. He goes on to write that your grandmother loved Jesus. Your mom had a deep faith. And as a result of them prioritizing their relationship with Jesus, the faith was passed down to the next generation. How many know that our actions and our beliefs matter? Our actions and our beliefs matter. Christ must be central to all that we do. And there's this recognition here at Friendship Assembly that there is nothing that has happened apart from the goodness and the grace of God. Everything good has come from Him. Christ has been and is and will be the head of this church. And we get to play the part that God has assigned to each of us. And He's the one that draws people to himself, and he's the one who transforms the hearts and transforms lives, and he's the one who ultimately leads his church. And he loves his church more than all of us combined, and I just want to encourage you to never let anything take the place at the center of this church other than Jesus. As we keep Jesus at the center and priority, we get to spend time in prayer seeking his wisdom and favor and his blessing. I want to let you know that each time we gather as a staff at the Iowa Ministry Network office, we have a list of open churches. And each time we gather, we spend time praying over all of the needs of the ministers in our state, as well as praying for open churches. And our team has been praying for you. And I can't tell you how excited I was when Pastor Wendy called me and told me that you had elected her to be the lead pastor of this church. And I went into that Google document and I deleted Friendship Assembly and Hayward and off of the open church list to the glory of God, because he has answered that prayer. The second principle to lead to the biggest kingdom impact that you've ever had is to have a can-do spirit. Everybody say can-do spirit. Oh, that was strong. That was strong. Years ago, I was in a staff meeting. I served on staff at a church, and this lead pastor had this brilliant idea that he brought up to our staff and began talking to us about it. And one by one, each of us began to tear down that idea and told him how that idea would not work. In frustration, he slams his hand on the table and he said, "Can we please start?" Actually, he didn't say it like that at all, but let's just pretend like he did. He said, "Can we start with how this idea can work?" He said, "Maybe this is the worst idea on the planet. Maybe it's a terrible idea and it will never work. But as a team, can we start with how this can work and then go from there and then start listing the reasons why it can't work?" And so I just want to encourage you. The Lord has given Pastor Wendy vision and strategy to see Friendship Assembly have the biggest impact that you've ever had. And I just want to encourage you to have a can-do spirit. Everybody say it just as strong as you said it before. Can-do spirit. Come to the table with things that can help it make it work. And please, unless it's immoral or illegal, remove from your vocabulary, "That will never work here." I doubt anybody would ever say this, but I think if she were to have gone to a different church, others might have said, "Well, Pastor Wendy, that may have worked in Nepal." But this isn't Nepal. This is Haywarden. Can I tell y'all, I want to pronounce the name of your town Haywarden. That's how I want to pronounce it. And people have told me that's not the right way to pronounce it. That is Haywarden. And am I pronouncing it right the second time? Okay. Haywarden. And so there's every bit of me wants to pronounce it a different way. But I just want to encourage you to never let that be part of your vocabulary of "it won't work here." Be a church that says, "With God's help, we're going to figure this out. And if it needs to get done, we're going to figure it out and figure out how to get it done." Which leads me to the third principle, which is this: a willingness to take risks and dream. A willingness to take risks and dream. There's way too much at stake to play it safe. The mission's too critical. The people of Haywarden, who are, now to mess myself up, there are people in Haywarden who are lost and dying and going to hell. And they're counting on you to have the greatest kingdom impact this church has ever had, and to take risk and to not play it safe. We go back to verse number 7, where Paul wrote, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." There must be an unrelenting, fearless spirit where we're willing to take risk and dream big dreams. In the days ahead, you may want to play it safe, but just remember to always follow where the Spirit is leading. And even if it seems risky or scary, he has proven that his way is best time after time. The fourth principle is this: to focus on the lost. There are over 35,000 people who live in Sioux County. And of those 35,000, there are over 9,000 people that, according to ARDA, A-R-D-A, research, there are over 9,000 people in Sioux County who are completely religiously unaffiliated. They're not part of a church whatsoever, and most likely the generation before them was not part of a church. This is the local mission field that the Lord has given to you. 9,000 people in this county who are completely religiously unaffiliated. These people, these families are counting on you in this next season to have the greatest kingdom impact this church has ever seen. There are 1.7 million people in this great state of Iowa who are also religiously unclaimed and religiously unaffiliated. 1.7 million people who aren't just lost in our state, but who have never been part of a church family whatsoever. And then when you think about the world, there are 3.4 billion people living on the planet today who have never one time heard the name of Jesus. 3.4 billion people. I loved looking at your missions wall out there this morning and the prayer cards and seeing the missionaries that this church supports who are going to the unreached people to put a dent in that number. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse number 9, that the people in the story they're starving to death, and just a few chapters over, it's so dire that this woman has eaten her own son. It's a horrible story, horrible time. Things were really dire, but God was about to do something miraculous. He caused the army that was surrounding the city to flee in terror, and the lepers of the city discovered that they were gone, and they started looting the enemy's camp. And here's what this verse says: "Finally, they, the lepers, said to each other, 'This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us.' They said, 'Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace.' The people within the city walls were dying, and these lepers brought them good news that they would live. Food was on the way, and how much better it is for the news that we bring, the gospel, that our souls can live and live free." And maybe today you've shown up and you're like, "I'm not qualified to share the good news." This story has something for you too. God used the lepers of this community, the outcasts, to bring this incredible news. And praise the Lord that we serve a God who still uses ordinary people over and over. He uses those that are the least likely, who others would deem less worthy, to do incredible things so that He gets the glory. Keeping the over 9,000 religiously unclaimed people in Sioux County in your minds, and 1.7 million people in our state, and 3.4 billion unreached around the world, at the front of our church's mind is going to drive our vision forward and will directly impact the effectiveness of this church moving forward. This leads me to the fifth thing. The fifth thing is generosity. How many of you have discovered that you can't outgive God? It's such a true principle. We can't outgive God. He has blessed us to be a blessing. And I just want to encourage you to never let up the gas on generosity. Be willing to bring your tithe, 10% of your income. That's the starting point. And then generosity starts above the tithe. And can I encourage you to not just be generous with your finances, but be generous with your life. Continue to serve faithfully and generously in the church. Be open to being called to the mission field or vocational ministry. The next thing that will lead you to the greatest kingdom impact the church has ever seen is number six, a priority on the next generation. A priority on the next generation. Look, I don't care what it costs you. I don't care what it costs you personally or financially. The return is well worth it. The return is well worth it. My wife and I served at a church for 10 years that from day one, the older people in the church leveraged their influence for the next generation. They put their money where their mouth was, and the older generation sought to put their own preferences and desires on the back burner to create an environment where their kids and grandkids would want to come. And the result of this, if you do this, is that the church will have the greatest kingdom impact that it will ever have. And I can already sense that you're doing that, right? And I started this message by saying, I'm assuming that all of these things that I'm talking about this morning are just an encouragement for you to continue to do these things. Let me tell you what happens when a church doesn't do this. When a church doesn't prioritize the next generation, it dies. It dies. And none of you want that. And so let me tell you, the result of what happened in our setting is our kids grew up in a church where they loved Jesus and they loved his church. And to this day, they still love Jesus and love his church. And that's why I tell you, not just as a parent, not as a pastor, not as the superintendent, but I'm telling you, I'm so grateful for every preference that was set aside, for every dollar that was given, for every minute that was volunteered by people in the church to invest in the next generation, because my two kids are just some of many that to this day love Jesus and love his church. Prioritize the next generation. Volunteer in the kids' ministry and the youth ministry to disciple the next generation. Show up to their sporting events and their extracurriculars and their music recitals. Invest in the next generation throughout the week. Truly care about them and their relationship with Jesus and come alongside and spend time with them and take an interest in their lives. If you're like, I don't even know how to talk to a teenager, I don't know where to start. Well, I can assure you that Tom can tell you how to talk to teenagers. And so find him after the service today and just be like, look, can you coach me on how to talk to a teenager? I walked up to your boys before service and I was like, there is no secret that you are Tom's boys. Like, there is no secret, right? The family resemblance is strong. But don't be scared of the next generation. Invest in them. I grew up at a church in Memphis, Tennessee, where people just appropriately expressed love and appreciation to young people. And so I'll never forget walking up to my grandmother on a Sunday night in church and hugging her. And there would be a whole bench of older women that would be sitting beside her. And I would just go down the line, hugging my grandmother, hugging the next grandmother and the next grandmother. And it was an incredible church to grow up in. And I've been blessed by that church that invested in the next generation, invested in me, and then being part of a church that invested in the next generation with our kids. And so I promise you, you won't get it wrong if you invest in the next generation. The seventh thing to ensure this church has the greatest kingdom impact is to, number seven, be growth-minded. Growth-minded. Now, anytime you talk about growth in a church, sometimes people begin to bristle, right? And other times people are like, yes, this is the mission of God to reach the lost. You just told us that there are 9,000 people in Sioux County right around us who are far from God, and 1.7 million people in our state who are far from God, and 3.4 billion people on the planet who are completely unreached. And so there are some of you, when I talk about growth-minded, that you're like, yes, yes, let's reach these people. And then there are others of you who maybe bristle because you think I'm talking about just numbers of people, of buns in the seat on a Sunday morning. And I just want to tell you, as we talk about numbers and we talk about growth, we're talking about souls. And if we believe that heaven is real and hell is real and that there's only one way to make it to heaven, and that's through Jesus, then we need to be growth-minded. Because those 9,000 people aren't just a statistic in our county. Those are people who are apart from God will spend an eternity in hell. And none of us want that. 1.7 million people in our state, 3.4 billion people across the globe. I would encourage you to have contentment but not satisfaction with where you're at. The destinies of generations to come can be drastically shaped by this church continuing to grow. Be committed to individual growth and to the corporate growth of the church. Invite people to church. And the eighth thing to have the greatest kingdom impact this church has ever seen is genuineness and an atmosphere of love that prioritizes relationships. It wasn't hard to experience that when I walked in today. People immediately were warm and friendly to me, you know, greeted me. And then during the greeting time, again, there was warmth and friendliness. Keep leaning into being the friendliest church that Sioux County has ever seen. And in fact, that the entire world has ever seen. You know, may you live up to your name, a Friendship Assembly, right? I want to encourage you to protect the unity and love that you have for each other and to continue to welcome new people into it, including your new pastor, right? It's a new day for your church and a new day for her. And let's just talk about some practical things for a minute. For the last 2+ years, you've done it without a lead pastor here. And y'all know each other. And you've talked to each other through that time. And now you have a new lead pastor that's here. And I just want to encourage you to protect the unity among each other as well as the unity between you and her. Protect the unity of this church and the love that you have for people. Welcome new people into it. People are so hungry for it. And this is more than just a feeling. It's a powerful testimony to the community. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." The love and kindness we express to each other shows that our faith is genuine and is something that people are looking for. The ninth thing for this church to have the greatest kingdom impact that you've ever seen is to remember that the best days are ahead. Remember that the best days are ahead. Remember that the best days are ahead. The greatest compliment that any former pastor or any leader who has been stepping into this pulpit for the last couple of years, the greatest compliment that can be paid to them is that in this new season, this church would grow. And again, it's not for the pride so that Pastor Wendy can say, "Oh, now I've done this." Instead, we go back to the why that we talked about with Growth Minded earlier. How many people in Sioux County who are completely religiously unaffiliated? How many? 9,000. How many in the state of Iowa? 1.7 million. How many people around the globe are completely unreached? It starts with 3.4 million. Yeah. And the greatest compliment for this, for those who have led the church in the interim and for those who have led the church before, would be for the best days to be ahead. That more people would be saved, more people would be water and spirit baptized, more people would be discipled and trained for ministry than ever before. And so we celebrate the past of Friendship Assembly. And it's had an incredible past, sincerely. And this church is filled with strong leaders. A number of months ago, I had the opportunity to drive up and meet with your board. I was in the area, and I was like, I'd love to meet with you and see the building. And I saw very quickly that the Lord has blessed this church with some amazing, strong, spirit-led leaders of this church. And I'm grateful for you. And I just want this church to know how blessed that you are. And so we celebrate the past, and it's had an incredible past, and we honor that with faith and believe that God hasn't even scratched the surface of what He's wanting to do here in Haywarden and in Sioux County. And finally, for this church to have the greatest impact that it's ever had, I'm sure some of you have had this happen to you. There's this thought that keeps coming to my head that I just keep shoving it down. And then I'm like, I'm going to get to this 10th point. And then I feel like the Holy Spirit just keeps saying, "No, you're not going to get to the 10th point yet." And so here we are. There's this thing that I want to throw out to you. One of the greatest needs that we have in the church today is for God to raise up more ministers and missionaries. It's one of the greatest needs. So I'll just tell you that across our state, a number of months ago, I met with people who are in my role in different denominations. And when we asked what is the greatest challenge that we're facing, each of us, to a T, mentioned pipeline. That as ministers step out, it's hard. Like, there's not a line of people to just put someone into a position. Recently, my wife and I were at a training with the church planting arm of the Assemblies of God called Church Multiplication Network. And one of the things that they said is that a high percentage of pastors are called into ministry from churches like yours. And so I want to encourage you with that, that this would be a church that would make disciples and develop ministers. That out of Hayward, out of Friendship Assembly in Haywarden, Iowa, that this church would be a sending church of ministers and missionaries. Be about God's business. This wasn't in my notes this morning, so maybe this really is the 10th point. And then there will be the 11th point where we go back to keep Jesus at the center and priority. But I want to encourage you with that. Would you take on this mantle and this ownership of this responsibility to disciple not only the next generation, but all of those who are in this community, the 9,000 people who are completely unchurched? What a great starting point. Right, with people who are religiously unaffiliated and discipling them and seeing the Holy Spirit transform their lives and turn them loose in this community and around the world. And so I just felt prompted to say that to you, and I want to encourage you with that today, that as an entire church, that we would feel the weight of that and that we would inspire and call, not call, but inspire others to answer the call of God on their lives. And then finally, let's make sure that there's no other agenda except for to keep Jesus at the center and priority. It's not about another person. It's not about another agenda. It's all about Jesus. And when we keep Jesus at the center and priority, then this church will continue to flourish for years to come. This will be a church that has the greatest kingdom impact that you've ever seen, that reaches the 8,000 people in this county, that begins to put a dent in other counties, that sends out church planters and missionaries and pastors from here to other places because of the strength of what God has done in each of your hearts. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room. I never want to pass up an opportunity to give people an opportunity to respond to the love of Jesus. Maybe today there are some of you who've come in and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you say, today I want to become a follower of Him. I realize that eternity is for real and that Jesus gave His life for me so that I could spend an eternity with Him in heaven. This is the gospel. This is the good news that God loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us, that we could have forgiveness of sins. And salvation isn't just about a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's about the Lord transforming our lives today. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you say, Jonathan, I need to ask Jesus to come into my life for the very first time. I need to ask Him to forgive me of my sins, and I want to confess Him as my Lord and Savior this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to ask that you would slip up your hands all across this room, or maybe there are others of you who had one time walk with God, but you've turned your back on Him, and you say, today I need to see my relationship restored back to Him. If that's you, in just a moment, if you say, I want to ask Jesus to come into my life for the very first time, or you say, I need to see my relationship restored back to Him, when I count to three, why don't you slip up your hands all across this room? One, two, three. Lift them up all across this room. Thank you, Lord. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if you raise your hand, I want you to repeat this prayer after me and mean it with everything that's within you. But know that you won't be praying this prayer alone, but that each of us in support of you will also be praying. Let's pray. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I've messed up. This morning, I ask for your forgiveness. Come and give me a fresh start. Be my Savior. Be my King. Take over every area. Take over every aspect. And help me from this day forward to live for you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God praise for what He's done this morning? If you raise your hand and you prayed that prayer, I would encourage you to find Pastor Wendy at the conclusion of this service and let her know of the decision that you've made today so she can encourage you along in the journey. Well, I'm going to ask Pastor Wendy and Dan to come up at this time. And will it mess things up if I come down here with the sound, the speaker? Okay, perfect.